Her body was discovered in a nearby wooded area.
She was stabbed 19 times and left for dead,
where two adults have been shot to death.
143 people have been murdered. Hundreds more have been shot.
She had been stabbed to death.
It was the bloodiest thing I think I've ever been to.
Welcome back to another episode of Dark and Deadly. We are your hosts. I'm Haley.
And I'm Gina.
And in true crime news today, other than Gina's case, another victim of John Wayne Gacy's has been identified as Francis Wayne Alexander. And they were able to actually identify him through one of his teeth, which led to investigators to discover his family and then obviously identify him. I think it was on October 25th that they discovered this. So about a week ago, I think. And
so sad, but I'm so happy for the family.
Right. He was projected to be 21 or 22 at the time of his death, which they predict to be between 1976 and 1977. And his remains, like most of his victims, were found underneath Gacy's home on December 26, 1978. And after learning of his fate, his family released the statement saying, quote, "It is hard, even 45 years later, to know the fate of our beloved Wayne. He was killed at the hands of a vile and evil man. Our hearts are heavy and our sympathies go out to the other victims' families. Our only comfort is knowing this killer no longer breathes the same air as we do," end quote. So
how was Gacy killed? In prison?
Yes.
Did somebody kill him in prison? Not like a death sentence, right?
I think so. Let me look it up. He was convicted in 1980.
Gosh, Haley, that's not that long ago.
No. At the time, he murdered 33 young men and boys, and he was executed.
Okay. Ooh, in 94.
In 94. Five of his victims have yet to be identified. So there was eight total who were unidentified. William Bundy, Jimmy Hawkinson, I think it is, or Hackinson, and then the Francis Wayne Alexander have been identified since then. One, I think William was identified in 2011, Jimmy in 2017, and then obviously Francis in 2021. So hopefully they'll be able to identify the rest of those five boys and men.
Right. I think as technology like continues to advance, we're going to see more and more victims be identified and cases get solved. And it's sad because, I mean, we're finding out these people's identity and you're finally able to put a face and a name to the tragedy.
Right.
But I'm also so happy for the family that they can finally find out what happened to their loved one.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you imagine if just anyone you knew just disappeared?
No.
And you never saw them again and you never had any idea of what had happened.
Yeah. And I can't imagine like finding out that this person that you had been missing had been killed by somebody so prolific, you know?
Right. Because like, you know, I'm sure about the crimes and you know how gruesome they are. Right. So you're aware and you've like, this person has been built into this legend in a way, and you're aware of the crimes. You're aware of how like horrific they are. And then to put your person, your loved one in that position, that has to just,
yeah,
rip your heart out. Imagine if they like watch documentaries, mm-hmm, just the same way all of us do, and they know about the case and they've investigated it and watched documentaries, and then to have that realization of, oh my gosh, I was watching how my loved one died without even realizing it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, at the time, I'm sure, because it was happening around that time that he went missing in that area, I'm sure that thought crossed their mind, but at the same time, they were probably hoping something else happened, you know?
Right.
So it's just really unfortunate. And I mean, it's sad because he was convicted possibly within a year of Francis's death. I think he went by Wayne. So Wayne's death. And that's just so sad that it could have been prevented if he would have been caught earlier. I just hate when victims have been killed so close to murders, arrests and stuff like that, because it's like, oh, if we would have had a month,
gone him just whatever, yep,
yeah,
a little bit more.
It's just so sad.
And there's always those, I mean, shoot, look at Bundy. He was even caught and then kept escaping and then going on these killing sprees. Terrible.
And I'm not looking forward to your case today, honestly.
It's a hard one. And we'll talk about it more once we get through the case, because I don't want to give it away. But it's sad. Okay. So today I'm going to be covering the case of Savannah, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, LaFontaine Graywind. So Savannah was a 22-year-old from Fargo, North Dakota, who was 8 months pregnant on August 20th of 2017 when she went missing. So, and I've seen in different articles two different dates. So I've seen the 20th and I've seen the 19th. And you would think with this being 2017, we'd have a more accurate date.
Right.
But I'm going with the 20th, but I've also seen the 19th. So just FYI to everyone, I'm not sure why we have two dates for the day that she went missing. Savannah was a member of the Spirit Lake Sioux tribe. She was planning on going to elder care, had just kind of one of those hearts that is patient and kind. Like, do you know the type of person who's going to go and work in like elderly care or with children with special needs? They just have. Which-
Yeah, it takes one of those, very like, special sweet person. Souls.
Yes, it does. That's what she wanted to do. She had just recently gotten a job as a nursing assistant. She was excited about this next stage in her life. She had a lot going for her. At that point, she lived with her parents in their basement apartment, but her and her boyfriend Ashton Matney were getting ready to place of their own and welcome their baby girl into the world. So she had everything going for her. She's 22. She's like starting out this new life. Her and her boyfriend have been together for years. They're moving. So it's like this really exciting time. You like everything feels like it's going the right way.
Yeah.
And the day that she went missing was not unlike any other day. She had just ordered a pizza. She was hanging out at home, packing up her stuff, kind of sorting her life out before she welcomes her daughter into the world. Her upstairs neighbor had come down to ask her to help finish a sewing project, to offer her a bit of money to help her out. And Savannah, being, you know, the helpful person that she was, agreed to help. And this wasn't the first time her neighbor had asked her for help either. So it's possible that she also, you know, felt bad and was like, no, I'll go do it. Because she had said no in the past. And that's the last time her parents heard from her. She was religious about texting her parents if she was changing locations. And she had told her mom that she was ordering a pizza. And that's the last time they had heard from her. Except she had told them that she was going to go upstairs and help the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple hours passed by, the pizza was there, and Savannah wasn't home yet. So her dad eventually went upstairs to knock on the neighbor's door and say, hey, where's Savannah? And her neighbor said, oh, she's fine. She's not done with the fitting yet. She'll be down soon. And so dad said, okay, they're taking their time. Wasn't too worried about it. You know, he knows where she's at. She's upstairs. She's just helping her neighbor out. Figured she'd be home soon. At about 4:30 though, hadn't seen her. So a couple hours had passed between when the dad had gone up there and when they finally went back upstairs, because they were like, where's Savannah? Savannah's mom had knocked at the door this time, and I couldn't find in any of the articles a specific name for who answered the door on the second time. But regardless, whoever it was told her mom, oh, she left a few hours ago. And
which is a different story than what
Yes. So yeah. Yes. Well, her, and it's been a couple hours. So, I mean, she left.
Yeah.
They didn't know, but panic starts to set in. Why wouldn't she stop downstairs to tell us that she's going somewhere else? She wasn't answering her phone, nor had she updated any of her social media accounts. There had been no activity since earlier that morning. So nobody heard anything. And especially alarm bells went off when her boyfriend told them she stopped responding in the middle of a conversation, which isn't something that she would typically do. So they're in the middle of texting and she just stopped responding. So parents called the cops. Cops came and started to interview the parents. The upstairs neighbor's house was searched and she wasn't there. So check that off the list. Her family and friends right away started to get the word out on social media. They were on top of it. They made posters and started to put the posters up around their house and neighborhood area. Like within a couple of hours of realizing she was gone, they pulled into action and was getting the word out there that Savannah was missing and they didn't find her. And that, you know, a little bit of an emergency. She's 8 months pregnant. So she's out there somewhere and she's hurt, or who knows what's happening. They want her to be found in quick, because it is, I think, with a pregnant person, a bit more of an emergency if she were to go missing, you know?
Right. Well, and I mean, it's smart because your chances of finding missing people after 24 hours drops dramatically. So it's good that they didn't like just put it off.
No, they were definitely worried about it and weren't just going to be like, oh, well, we'll wait the 24 hours. That's customary. They're like, no, she's pregnant. Yeah. We need to find her. Not that they wouldn't if she wasn't not pregnant, but urgency is a little bit higher.
Especially
the cops agree along. And they, you know, yes, yeah. Exactly. And her parents told the cops that she wasn't the type of person to just disappear. So this was odd. And keep in mind, everything in her life was good. She was getting in that new place with her boyfriend. She had a great job. She was in school to do, to get into elderly care. She was moving forward with her life. She was excited. 4 days passed with no word from Savannah. Her family was absolutely distraught at this point. But the cops were also busy searching the upstairs neighbor's house again, two more times. So three total. Okay. Well, Savannah's parents told them some interesting information about the upstairs nurse. That Brooke Cruz and her boyfriend, William Hohn, H-O-E-H-N, I more than likely did not pronounce that correctly, fought like cats and dogs. They had knockdown, drag out fights constantly, like ones that would shake the floor from how heavy they were screaming and moving stuff around. So it was definitely a toxic relationship that was happening upstairs, and the whole family was aware of it because they were below them. They constantly heard it. And the important thing to note about these two is that both have multiple kids from different relationships and neither have custody and didn't pay child support. So there were lawsuits and wages garnished and the definition of, we're talking like deadbeat parents.
Yeah.
Not good people. And yeah, not a good situation going on up there. And remember that Brooke had asked for Savannah to apartment multiple times throughout that last week or so, and the parents were aware, which can be odd for a neighbor to do. I don't think right. I've ever had a neighbor that asked me to come over multiple times. I have neighbors that I'm friendly with, but none that are asking me to come over multiple times.
And how old are they?
So, you know. Brooke is 38 years old and William is 36.
Okay. So it's not like they're old people who need help with things. They're like, that would be weird to ask your neighbor to come over multiple
right.
times.
It's odd. It's odd. And you're asking an 8-month-old, 22-year-old woman to come and help you. Like, it's weird.
An 8-month-old. It's weird,
whatever way you throw it.
8-month pregnant.
8-month-old.
8 months pregnant.
8 month pregnant. She was not 8 months old. No.
Come on, crawl up here.
Right. So they weren't good people. they had restraining orders against each other that violated. It was toxic. At the very minimum, very toxic. And the interesting thing is that when the detectives go back for a fourth time, they see some movement. And when they look closer, they found a brand spanking new baby girl in their apartment. And this, of course, sets off like mass chaos because the baby was only 4 pounds, 13 ounces.
No.
It's a preemie and Savannah's 8 months along.
Yeah.
So cops instantly do what they're supposed to do. They whisk her out and get her to the hospital. She's very quickly made a ward of the state. At the hospital, she's actually surprisingly in good health, which is
good
and happy, but she is 4 pounds, 13 ounces. She's tiny, tiny, tiny. When the cops are up there, they do an even more thorough search of the apartment at this point, because now they have what they're assuming is Savannah's baby, and they don't find anything. They don't find Savannah. So they're instantly thinking, okay, we have a situation going on here. Sadly, on around August 28th, her body was found bound in plastic and duct tape floating in a river by two kayakers. So they did find her body. No, and she was caught on a log, and the kayaker saw something, went over to it in the Red River and found her, unfortunately. And 8 days, I mean, and keep in mind what we're about to find out. So Cruz and her boyfriend are arrested after this. Cruz admitted that she led Savannah into her bathroom, started a fight with her, and shoved her so that her head struck the sink, knocking conscious. While Savannah struggled to come to, Cruz grabbed a utility knife, cut open her belly, and pulled out the baby. Keep in mind, this isn't a slow process. It's not like what I think people are picturing, where it's just like a clean swipe and she's, no, this is, I mean, you're cutting through skin, fat, the tissue, placenta, uterus. Yeah. I mean, it's massive surgery. It happens in a hospital.
Oh, I know. I've had a
C-section. During this, you've had a C-section, so you're aware of it. Like, they're cutting you open. And this isn't a trained professional either. This is some coup with a knife upstairs. And during this excruciating ordeal, Savannah keeps coming in and out of consciousness. So she's not fully out. She's waking up and going and falling back asleep, waking up, falling back asleep from the blood loss that she's experiencing. At some point, William came home in the pain. Yes. So at some point during this, William came home, and when he came into the bathroom to see what was going on, he saw Savannah and Brooke in the bathroom. Cruz asked him for help. At what that point, he went into the next bedroom, grabbed a rope, and proceeded to strangle Savannah to death. Yeah. So Cruz testified that in early 2017, she lied. Oh, it's Haley. Can you even imagine?
No, because I guarantee the reason why she kept waking up was because she was trying to save her life and her baby's life. But between the pain and the blood loss, she just couldn't.
The blood loss. No. And yeah, no. Horrific. Cruz testified that in early 2017, she lied to William about being pregnant, because she thought he wanted her to have a baby, so she faked a pregnancy. She told the court that during an argument that August, he admitted he knew she wasn't pregnant, but because he had previously told others she was expecting, he demanded that she produce a baby. And this is according to KVLY, which is a news station there. So he demanded that she produce a baby. And so her thought was, oh, I have a pregnant neighbor downstairs. Let me just figure out what I can do. And so leading up to this, she had been inviting her upstairs, I think, to produce said baby.
Right, to find the perfect time.
Yep. So on August 20th, he had, after everything had gone down, he hollowed out his dresser and put Savannah's body inside. He wrapped her in towels and plastic, and she was hidden inside the dresser when police searched the apartment that initial time. Yeah. So she was inside the apartment. The baby was inside the apartment at times, would just hide her under blankets on the bed or put her in like innocuous places. And she just never made a peep.
That is crazy.
Right.
Did they even do thorough searches? I mean, like, what?
Well, I think that the initial search was probably them just going in and looking around, not thinking to open it, like open dresser drawers.
Right.
I think they were just looking for her in general, or like anything that, that looked out of sorts. But there was two of them cleaning up all of the blood.
A ton. Yeah.
Not good that they missed it. And they went four times into this apartment.
Yeah.
So, and this is what Cruz said happens. And, she said that in the early morning hours of the 21st, the two of them carried the dresser down the stairs and loaded into their Jeep Cherokee, where they then went and dumped the body into the river. So I'm assuming like 2-3 in the morning, they're loading that dresser out and taking it away when cops aren't near. I'm surprised though, there wasn't some form of like police presence or like family presence outside that apartment
at all times. I don't know.
Right?
That is strange.
So they may have just found the perfect timing to do all of this. Brooke Crew pleaded guilty. What?
So she didn't like scream or anything. She was just in and out of it so much.
Well, and keep in mind that the couple upstairs fought all the time. Uh-huh. And no one was home when she initially went up there. She was home alone. Her parents were out the house. Right. Pizza was delivered, was sitting outside. Parents came home. She wasn't there. They knew she was upstairs, but you know, so it could have, they could have lucked out. She could have not been making much noise because she was too weak. She could have shoved some mouth into duct tape her mouth and just never admitted to it.
Yeah.
There's multiple things that could have happened for her to have made noise, I think. Brooke Crew pleaded guilty and is sentenced to life in prison. And William Hone was originally ordered to serve a life sentence for his role in the kidnapping of Savannah's baby, but was resentenced in 2019 to spend 20 years behind bars. And it wasn't until September 11th of 2017, almost 3 weeks after her discovery, the DNA test finally came back from the state and Savannah's baby was returned to her family. And she now lives with her father, the baby's father, and is 4 years old and seems to be living just a very happy, but albeit sad for not having her mama life.
Yeah. It just baffles me that two people who have had kids and didn't treat them right or want them in general would do that to somebody.
Well, apparently he'd gone around in its reputation, so his ego said, "Oh, produce a baby," and her thought process was, but like, Haley, this happens, because I looked this up and I feel like 9 times out of 10 it's because the woman tells people she's pregnant and then needs to produce said baby, or the man says, "Well, get a baby." I will never understand the twistedness you have to go to this length to get a baby.
Right.
Like the degree you're killing another woman, cutting the baby out. And sometimes these babies don't live. Like they don't live because they're too new. Something is complicated. You didn't get the baby out in time, but you killed the mom. So airflow was like, there's so many things that can go wrong that you have to be just so warped and twisted to think that this is, I don't know, but I guess if you're committing murder in general, you're warped and twisted as it is.
Yeah.
But a majority of these are like premeditated too.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to be, to plan somewhat.
Right. Well, and I mean, I feel like I've read of one case where it was just this woman happened up upon a pregnant woman. I'd have to find it, but you're playing out. There's one where a woman went to a random person's house who was advertising baby clothes, I think on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Do you remember that? Yeah. And the woman cut her belly open, and I don't think the baby lived. I think both mom and baby died in that case.
I think you're right.
But I'm just, what?
Yeah,
there are so many kids in foster care and babies that are going to foster care and moms that are wanting to adopt their babies. I just, for the life of me, I don't know. You're taking two lives. I feel like you just have to be very sick and depraved.
Yeah, I can't even fathom, honestly.
The one thing, and who knows how true this is, but Brooke Cruz did say, "I am guilty. I deserve every year that I get." And I couldn't agree more.
Me either.
You affected so many lives. You've not only hers, you affected her boyfriends, her parents, her siblings, that baby girl's life.
Oh yeah.
What were you thinking? You were just going to have a baby upstairs from where the family was and no one was ever going to say anything?
It baffles me when two equally evil people find each other in life.
Right.
To do these kinds of things together, you know?
What were the odds?
How does that come up in a conversation?
I think so. It's always toxic relationships.
Yeah.
And it's
most definitely.
And I don't want to be like, oh, it's always a man, but I feel like it's a very controlling man who finds a woman's vulnerability about not wanting to be left.
Right. And a very unstable, like, woman who would do anything for this person. Yes,
who would do anything to keep that person. And everything just gets twisted. Yeah. And we have two very unhealthy people who are probably psychopaths in some regard. I don't know. Selfish egomaniacs.
Yep. Narcissists.
So that's a case of Savannah Graywind. It's very sad. I feel so heartbroken for her family and her daughter, but kudos to dad for picking up the pieces of what I'm sure was not what you planned for your life and figuring it out and being a good dad.
I can't even begin to imagine what he went through.
Well, having to be both parents when you're, I mean, a kid.
He was stolen from you, and
And they dated for 7 years, so they were like high school sweethearts.
Well, yeah, they had to have been. She was still so young.
I know. Babies.
Sad.
And I'll post photos. She was really pretty, too. Just had like really pretty smile. Yeah.
Oh. It's so sad. I think I remember watching a YouTube video about this case, and it just makes me sick. I don't know if you watched Private Practice, but they had an episode that portrayed this type of scenario also. And that is like the only episode that I remember from that series. And it's because it's so traumatizing.
I don't, but I will forever remember. I think there's 911 calls about the woman who was the Craigslist baby snatcher.
Yeah.
I think there's 911 calls of that. I think.
Well, thank you, Gina, for that horrific case.
You're so welcome.
Wish I could say I was sincere and not thank you, but I'm not. Don't forget, guys, we're going to go back to our normal scheduling of our second episode of each month. We're going to cover a double case with a category that you pick. So this month we are doing Almost Got Away With It, Love Triangles, Double Lives, or Hollywood Crimes. So we will have the link in the bio of our Instagram, also in the show notes of this episode. And then should we Should we put it on the store, like a story slide?
Yes, we will.
Okay. And we'll do it on the story slide too. So you guys go and vote what you guys want to hear next week. And the voting will be only, well, maybe we should do it the third Wednesday or the third Monday, because that will only give us like a day to
prepare. Oh, yeah.
Have so voting this will and be- stuff. we're very unprepared this week. So we'll have it the third
Monday.
It's
after a holiday. It's a holiday, right?
We're getting back into the groove of things. We've both had COVID within the last few months. We've both had just like crazy stuff going on. So the third Monday, which lands us on what day? The 15th.
Yes.
So we'll have voting open for the next week. And then on the 15th, we will have the episode for the category that has the most votes. So don't forget to vote, please.
We love interacting with you guys, and this totally makes our day to have different episodes that we can do where it's not just us coming up with them, and then it gives us something like fun to investigate different things.
It's I love it. This is like, these are like my favorite episodes, because then it's fun that we both get to hear we get to hear each other's cases that the other person picks, and it's just amazing that our listeners have some sort of involvement in those episodes. So we really want you guys to vote.
Yes, please.
And as always, you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Dark and Deadly Pod. You can send us a Gmail with case suggestions, or if you have any interesting true crime or paranormal stories that have happened to you personally, we would love to read them on the podcast if you want. And you can send us a Gmail at darkanddeadlypod@gmail.com. And we hope you guys have a fabulous week. And we will see you guys here next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.